Lakers get that magic, Pelicans get to boogie, and Jameis shades the little girls. Plus, we've got a very special guest, NBA, WNBA superstar, Noel Quinn. All this and more up next on a jam-packed Sports Weekly.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live, Sports Weekly.
Coming now for my lead. Is this the one he did at the Grammys?
Yeah, he did.
With the shape of you. Push and pull like a magnet to what?
Acoustic, yes. Yeah, acoustic. And he had the
Sports Weekly. I'm in love with your body. Hey,
come on, y'all. Sing it with us.
Like you were in my room. Josh. Okay. Not my bed. She smelled like you. Everything is something brand new. I'm in love with your body.
I'm in love with your body.
I want to lay it down.
Everybody come around.
I'm in love with your body.
Welcome to my world. We trap every week. We trap every week. It's a nice switch up.
Let's I like how he built the track. You just watched the performance of Grammy.
Oh, yeah, his Grammy performance, how you start off.
He started off and looped it with the looper.
Boxing or whatever.
Yeah.
Guys,
that was tight.
This is not a music show. It's a sports show, contrary to popular belief. This is Sports Weekly every Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Thanks, guys, for joining us. If you're not already in the chat room, you need to go ahead and get in the chat room. Because as you can see, we are crunk. I'm Erica Renee Davis. You can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Insta Story at Erica Renee D.
And I'm hot right now because all this movement and this sexiness and this song, I'm just like, oh my goodness. Anyways, I'm Joshua Johnson. Find me all over social media at JJ the Talented.
What's up, guys? I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_. Hit me up on Twitter because I
love to debate.
Let's get it.
And I'm Raina Ale. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raina_Ale.
And as always, follow all things Black Hollywood Live on BlackHollywoodLive.com. Follow us on Twitter at BHL Online. Follow us on Instagram at BHL Sports Weekly. But most importantly tonight, we got a superstar in the house.
Hey.
Noel Quinn, Raina, this is your personal friends. I'll let you do the
yes,
honors.
Yes, guys, I'm super excited to introduce one of my friends, native of Los Angeles, California, Bishop Montgomery High School and Torrance Hall of Fame. She has her jersey retired there, guys.
Oh, snap. What?
Played 4 years at UCLA, then played for the WNBA for teams like the Lynx, Sparks, and most currently with the Storm. She played overseas for countries like Bulgaria, Russia, Czech Republic, South Korea, like everywhere. Now she's recently the head coach of Bishop Montgomery girls basketball team, who just won and going to the semifinals on Saturday.
Okay.
Yes.
Good job. Round of applause.
And she's a superstar.
Not a star. Somebody lied.
Noe, tell everyone where we can find you on social media.
I'm not much of a social media head, but I have a Twitter. I am so LA 45.
So LA.
Nice.
One rate.
So LA.
Yes. Like that too.
So let's just go ahead and get started.
Yes.
I wanted to talk to you about, so recently you are coach for the Bishop Montgomery Lady Knights.
Yes.
Usually for WNBA players, we had a few of them in with us in the studio, they play year-round.
Mm-hmm.
So season's ending, they're automatically going overseas like 2 weeks after the season's over.
Mm-hmm.
Why this year did you decide to stay home and coach?
So I've been playing back and forth for 10 years, finished my 10th season WNBA, back and forth, traveling in Europe. This year, specifically, I was in this past 2016 in April, I was in Italy. My mom became ill.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was overseas, and that happened, and I felt like I wasn't in control of the situation. I need to be with my family. So after I came back from Italy, went through the WNBA, I decided I'm going to take the year off, spend some time with my mom and with my family. And this opportunity came about at Bishop. But initially, like, my perspective changed about things. 10 years in, I'm chasing the money. I got to get money. Like, I got to, you know, in the WNBA, we don't get paid like the NBA players. So that's what I'm chasing. But then things happen with my family, put things in perspective. I need to be home in L.A. and just rest my body, get my mind right, and rejuvenate myself. And so that was a big reason why.
So you said, I think you said out there that there are 2 more years on your contract?
1 more year.
1 more year on your contract.
Right.
So after this final year, after your final year on your contract, mm-hmm. are you going to try to re-up, or do you want to just, as you said, concentrate on different things other than basketball?
Right. So I think overseas I'm pretty much done with. I discussed that with my agent actually the other day. And if I can squeeze out a couple more years in the WNBA, I'll be satisfied with that. But this coaching thing has really broadened my horizons as far as like deciding what I want to do eventually. I didn't know I had a passion for coaching, teaching basketball to young girls. And so I'm just excited about that opportunity. But yes, if I can squeeze out another 2 in the WNBA, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So can you talk about how the training process is like, and even the rest, even how important rest is? I mean, playing, you're literally playing year-round. Yeah. Like, how do you take care of your body and your health?
Yeah, so coming out of college, I was, like, eating everything. and then you get to a certain age, it's like, can't really eat the burgers and the fries mm-hmm. anymore. I changed my diet probably, like, 5 years ago. Gave up red meat, no beef, no pork. Just recently, probably like 3 months ago, I stopped eating chicken. It's crazy.
But what do you eat then?
So,
soy meat?
Nah, not also? Soy yet. I'm not completely vegan or anything yet. Still eating fish. I eat turkey. So,
okay.
Taco Tuesdays, I'm still with turkey.
You get turkey first.
So, chicken was really hard. So, that's watching what I intake in my body, that's important. Nutrition is important. Rest is key too. The order you get, like, I literally be in a bed at 10 o'clock at night. Like, I'm asleep, and I get up early in the morning. Rest is really important. Mm-hmm. And it's tough. Training, really have to stay in shape all year round because this is our off season, but I'm about to start training camp in April. So mm-hmm. aside from coaching, I've been working out every morning still, getting prepared for my season coming up. So it's just all around training, basically. It's tough.
What do you feel about the future of the WNBA? Do you feel like it's a league that can still continue and can thrive or get more notoriety? Mm-hmm. Or do you see it kind of dwindling and maybe possibly folding?
Yeah, the great thing about the WNBA is that it's lasted for 20 years.
Wow.
That's what a lot of the leagues, the women leagues in particular, haven't lasted that long. So that's a positive about it. Viewership is up despite what anyone might say. We have the talent is coming in and doing a great job. The thing is, It's hard to supplement. I mean, we have to supplement financially, so a lot of us are going overseas to play. So the product of the WNBA may not be as strong because we're tired. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? We're worn out. But that league is the best of the best of the best mm-hmm. in our country. You know what I mean? And so, yes, I think positive about the WNBA, despite the naysayers or whatever, because I'm in it. I live it every day. I know all of us women, the coaches, everyone, they have a passion mm-hmm. for basketball.
Now, we've debated about this on the show all the time about the lack of popularity, I guess, of the WNBA mm-hmm. compared to the NBA or NFL or, you know, mm-hmm. the other major sports, or even compared to some other women's sports. Mm-hmm. Even though viewership is up, it's still comparable, not as popular mm-hmm. as other sports. What do you think the WNBA can do as an organization to make it more popular, to make it, I don't know, let's say as quote-unquote sexy, as track or as women's soccer or as beach volleyball?
Yeah, that's a great question. I honestly do not know. Mm-hmm. Marketing, of course, is the biggest issue that I think we've had for a long time. A lot of times people don't even realize when our season is. It's in the summertime. It should be, you know, more. Right. We should be more recognizable.
That,
but it's not.
And that's kind of crazy because I remember when it first came out that the NBC was promoting it hard.
Yeah.
Hard.
Yeah,
because I'll admit, I don't watch it anymore, but I used to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I used to watch it all the time.
When I was a kid, Lifetime. It was on Lifetime.
Yeah, it was on Lifetime.
You know what I mean?
Yes, she's right. It was on Lifetime.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, but a lot of I think the excitement of it has dwindled down. And I don't know what that mm-hmm. may be. I don't know.
Well, viewership's up.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, who's the WNBA's core audience or demographic right now that's really keeping them in business?
I have no clue. Honestly, that's a great question. I have no clue. I think a few years ago, the issue was trying to get male viewers to watch, mm-hmm. right? And a lot, if you're a basketball player, you understand that women's basketball, yeah, we play below the rim mm-hmm. but we are very skilled. Like NBA, some NBA players, you won't notice, they could barely dribble with their left hand. But you won't notice because they're dunking the ball, right?
Right.
And women's basketball player, you have to have skill. So men aficionados of basketball look at women's basketball and appreciate it. The average basketball male fan is not going to look at women's basketball and appreciate it because we're not dunking.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So what's the audience? How do you get mm-hmm. the male audience to tune into to women's sport?
Wasn't it Amari Stoudemire who, first of all, Amari Stoudemire is the biggest internet troll. Was it Gilbert?
Gilbert
Arenas. He's the biggest troll. I mean, he goes in on everybody. So this is not specific just to WNBA players.
Right.
But, you know, he had that little Instagram post a few months ago where he had a little the Instagram thoughts, yeah. you know, in their little booty shorts.
Yeah.
And I think actually
he did. He mentioned the WNBA. He said if they were wearing, you know, short shorts or showing off their body a little bit, we would probably tune in.
I mean, set us back 40 years, Gilbert. We need to be in the kitchen, like cooking
food. Exactly.
Like,
he said that as well.
Like, women are more diverse than that. You can't just put us in a box.
Well, here's the thing. I remember watching some WNBA ads, and what they would do is they would compare the men's game to the women's game, but they wouldn't compare it as like, hey, we're more fundamental. We can do we can do this. They would try to be like, hey, we can do that too. And I think that turns off a lot of guys.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I think it should be like, you know what? Yeah, we're women. Yeah, we can play underneath the rim, but we can shoot just as well.
Right.
It's fundamentals.
Right.
Our game is better. It's better coached.
Yeah.
I think the coaches have to do a better job in a WNBA.
Right.
I think it should go more towards that angle instead of just saying, hey, we can beat the men. It's like, we're us.
Yeah.
And what we're doing is just as good.
That's interesting.
And I think that's the problem with
WNBA,
my problem.
I'm with you on that. I sometimes don't like when they compare, well, this player plays like LeBron.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Why can't they be the first of their
exactly.
own?
Exactly.
I agree with you on
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then, like, when someone dunks in WNBA, they always try to compare it to, like, a guy dunking.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's awesome that a woman can dunk, but you're not going to compete with Vince Carter doing a 360 windmill.
Absolutely.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. And they need to, I just need to realize that. That's all.
Yeah. Wait, say what, Josh?
One day you might.
Huh?
Right. Well, one day you might.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. See, and it's evolving. It's just a different game.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You just have to promote, you know, your strengths.
Yeah.
Oh, growing up, who was your favorite player to watch?
Magic.
Yes. Okay.
Magic, hands down, all day. Dang, that's crazy. I went Magic. Growing up, also, I watched the Sparks, too, so I really enjoyed watching Lisa Leslie, Owati Mabika. You guys remember?
Owati, yes.
Yeah.
Tamika Dixon, that whole Sparks squad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Magic was my guy. Like, growing up, literally, before the WNBA started. So I started playing basketball when I was really young. Magic was my guy.
Who's the best player you played with and the best player you played against?
That's really tough. I'll say Diana Taurasi.
She's so good with the Mercury.
Yes.
So,
Diana Taurasi. The thing that sets Diana apart, though, is just like that killer instinct.
Okay.
She comes to practice and it's like not a game.
Mm-hmm.
She's coming to practice to work. And not a lot of superstar level athletes have that type of work ethic and that engine. She has that. And the thing about Diana that I truly love is that she's an unselfish superstar.
Mm-hmm.
So she's in a locker room joking from if you play 30 seconds to if you play 40 minutes.
Nice. Game.
She's treating everybody the same. She has a cool personality. We call her the White Mamba. She gets buckets. And she's tough.
Yeah. She's awesome.
Tough.
Chat room.
She's so
does
good.
Chat room have any questions?
Mr. Regman 26 says they need more support. Women need more support from the male counterpart players.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah,
the NBA players should be sticking up for them.
Yeah, I agree. I know we just a few seconds ago talked about why do we have to compare the women to the men.
Right.
I mean, but I don't know. I think because men's sports are held in such high esteem, you know, I think probably it's kind of neat that you call Diana the White Mamba.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think, I personally don't find that offensive because if I were a WNBA player and someone said, oh, she dunks like LeBron, I'd be like, okay, great. So can I get some LeBron, you know, endorsement money? Like, will you recognize me as the next LeBron on the female side?
Right.
So, but I do get how we have stigmatized women's sports as being not as important. But, if we can piggyback off the men's success until we can come into our full own.
Correct.
For a few years, they would during the All-Star break, All-Star weekend, they would join, you know, stars from the WNBA with stars from the NBA for different events. I don't know what happened to that, though.
Yeah.
I think they kind of...
Oh, yeah, the two-ball competition.
Yeah.
Two-ball.
That's
cool.
Yeah, I will say the WNBA is very much involved in All-Star weekend for the NBA. So, yeah, we didn't see those events, but a lot of the players were there in meetings and just being a part of that weekend. So, yeah, we didn't see it on TV, but, you know, we do a good job of... I think the league does a good job including us during that week. So,
definitely.
Yeah.
Can we talk Candace Wiggins before we get into it?
I'm not sure. Candace Wiggins just recently made some comments about the WNBA in general.
Mm-hmm.
Controversial comments. She did an interview with the San Diego Tribune saying that she was bullied for being a straight player in the WNBA.
Mm-hmm.
And that stirred a lot of social media inputs, I would say, over a few WNBA players.
Mm-hmm.
Overseas,
mm-hmm.
you know, some current players now, and they've made their statement.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about her comments?
I'm never unsympathetic to someone's story and someone's truth. I say that it's not my truth. Mm-hmm. The number that she put out there was
98% of WNBA.
Yeah, and you can't generalize something from your own experience, mm-hmm. especially if it's not backed up by fact. And it wasn't. So like I'm saying, I'm not discrediting her story, but mm-hmm. that's her story. It's not my story. Okay. And I feel like a lot of players feel the same way. It's not everyone's story. I haven't experienced that in the WNBA. The thing about the WNBA that's cool is you have different walks of life, mm-hmm. different women with married, with kids, lesbians, whatever, mm-hmm. all types of life. But the thing is, we include everyone. Mm-hmm. We don't discriminate. Like we don't say, well, you're this way, so you cannot play. And secondly, what does sexuality have to do with putting a basket in a hole? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What does it have to do with being an athlete? Nothing.
Now, is it a possibility that Candace may have had some experiences different from yours because maybe she's not as likable as you? You know, maybe she got bullied because she's a bitch. I don't know her.
I don't ever want to
someone deserves to be bullied.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have different character traits.
Right. You have ways about you that
make people want to beat your ass.
Right.
So, could maybe her experiences not be the fact that she was straight, but could it be that she has some certain character flaws that people mistreated her based on?
Yeah, it wasn't likable. And let's be clear, too, Candace Wiggins had a lot of surgeries. So you can't say your career ended because you were bullied. Candace, you had knee, Achilles, this and that. And then on top of that, you went overseas. You had a great career. You had a Tribune article where you discussed how great it was, and you're walking away. But your body shut down on you. You mm-hmm. can't say, I was bullied, so I retired. That's the story that you're giving off. Mm-hmm. And it may be her truth, but I'm just saying for majority. I think I can speak for majority. It's not everyone's truth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's also interesting that, you know, we were talking about the marketing for the WNBA. You know, mm-hmm. You guys are not getting a lot of media attention. Mm-hmm. But as soon as this story came out, it was all over the media. And it was just getting so much media attention. From mainstream media outlets, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That right there... Personally, I don't know if you agree, but that's the problem. They're not getting, you're not posting, the Sparks were in championship this year. Yeah. Like, that wasn't broadcasted as much as it should have been.
I agree with you.
But can't we attribute that to the fact that we have a salacious, craving culture? We like the reality stars. We like the Real Housewives of Atlanta. You rather see...
The headlines are going to be what drives hits.
Yeah. Right, but at the same time, the finals had a nice headline, Candace Parker, you know, Pat Summit. You know, that had a really nice headline. Candace has been through a lot in her career. A lot of people gave her, you know, for not winning a title, you know. And she's dope. So I think they had a storyline they could have ran with. And Candace Parker is a known athlete. Even guys who don't watch the WNBA know who Candace Parker is.
She was in All-Star Weekend. She's the one who he shot. Yeah. You know, remember they shot for Craig Sager.
Lindsay Whalen was there.
Candace.
And I follow Candace on social media.
We're going to jump into the actual rest of the show, but you're going to, of course, join. You're in the hot seat. So you are a part of the show.
Give us your take.
And, I mean, you're one of us, so feel free to, you know, curse us out, debate. In the chat room, we'll have questions and comments, too. So, you know, we're all one big family in here and out there in the internet world. Okay. I don't know. Magic Johnson.
Magic. Your favorite. My favorite. Takes over the front office of the Lakers. And then promptly fires Mitch Kupchak, Jim Buss, and gets rid of Lou Williams.
Get it, Jimbo?
Do you believe in Magic? That's the first question.
Jimbo in the booth.
Do you believe what Magic is doing? Do you believe in what he's doing? Is he making the right moves?
I do. First of all, how hard is it as your sister to fire your brother?
What is Thanksgiving going to be like? Can you imagine Thanksgiving coming up?
She don't like him though.
Yeah.
So you know, you have your cousins, your siblings that you don't like. That's pretty bad.
It's pretty easy.
That's gotta be awkward though.
Yeah, I believe in Magic though, because you just think how much pride Magic has for the Lakers. For the city of LA in general, Dodgers, Sparks, like he's
LAFC, the new soccer
team. Yeah, everything. He's very much involved in LA, and I think, you know, that he's gonna, you know, lead them in the correct direction. He's a winner, and that's what that organization needs. Someone who's played, understand it. He's been through it. He's a winner. That's really great for them.
So you mentioned he is a winner. Another winner that we were talking about last week that I think is a good move. Magic was thinking about bringing Kobe into. What's your thoughts about that?
Again, another proven winner, and he demands excellence. Like that's what Laker basketball is about. Like we win championships in L.A. We don't lose to the Clippers. That's just how it is.
That's what fans are used to.
Yeah, I love that Laker Nation passion. But you know, I also love living in the present, looking towards the future. And what the Lakers have is what you have.
Yep. Yeah. No, that's absolutely true.
And you know, no shade, kind of a little bit shade, but you know, shade.
Oh, she's shady.
Okay, so even before Dan Le Batard said this on ESPN, I didn't know he said it, but then I agree with him. He said it on his radio show that Magic hasn't really succeeded. He didn't succeed as a coach.
Nope.
And, you know, he threw out some other things. His talk show didn't succeed.
That has nothing to do with basketball.
But just, you know, basically, Magic has been a force with which to be reckoned, but only on the court. Of course, as a businessman, because he made all, you know, he made his money, made great investments. But as a coach, as a leader of an organization, we haven't seen him prove that. And I think.
Well, I mean, being a coach, you're not the leader of an organization.
You're not, but
this is really his first go around as leader of an organization. We have to give him a little chance. See.
And what you do is you surround yourself with people who are business minded and like minded. So it may not just be him, it's him and his ability to he bringing in?
True.
Surround me with the best of the best so I know what to do. So let's take this organization back to what it is.
Right. So now you have to look at the roster, right? So who do the Lakers really have? They don't really have a superstar on their roster right
now.
No, we don't.
You have a bunch of players who are nice young players, but they're not gonna be a superstar, but maybe not even all stars. They're very high in Ingram, but D'Angelo Russell seems like he's okay.
He's 12.
Julius Randle is good, but he's okay. Larry Nance is good, but he's okay. So they don't have that star. They have nice young pieces that they're probably going to have to get rid of if they want a star. So it's going to be a long road. It's not that easy. They're in the West, which is the more difficult conference. Yeah. So Laker fans, they have to be patient. And I don't know if they're going to be patient, but Magic's not going to turn this around in a year. He's not going to turn it around in 2 years. It's going to take 3, 4, 5 years for Lakers to even turn it around and be a playoff team.
Well, Magic admitted that. This wouldn't be an overnight job. This is going to be something that does take time. I think myself, and I think I can speak for you guys too, I think we're ready for the long haul, although it's not something we're used to.
Yeah.
But like Jimbo played the song, we believe in Magic, so we think the Lakers can get back to that glory. But I've given up on believing that's going to happen overnight. Mm-hmm. And I think Magic is coming here to just clean house, start fresh.
Yeah.
They're tanking already. It's clear they're going to tank, get the top three pick. Yeah. And build from the draft.
But now, what's it? You believe in Magic? I don't. Was it a smart move? You know, from a basketball player perspective or everyone's perspective, was it a smart move? Was it a cap space move to get rid of Lou? Like what?
They just wanted a pick. They got a pick from the Rockets.
It was tough because I like Lou as a player, but they got another first round pick.
They got a first round pick out of it first, and Lou's older. You know, you're not going to keep him around for the future. He has no business being on that team if you're building for the future. So you get rid of him, you get a pick.
So do you rebuild through the draft?
Yes.
Or do you rebuild through
free agency?
You, thank you.
Okay,
Paul George has stated that he wants to come in 2018.
Yeah, free agency.
So I say you rebuild from the draft. Okay. Hopefully get Paul George in 2018.
You
add that piece.
You need to do both.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Is
you can't. Why do you say free agency over building in through the draft?
Just because if you just look at the progression of it, so Julius Randle, bless his heart. I'm just not a fan.
You're not a fan of Julius Randle?
Oh, I just think of all the young players, and then, you know, LA, like we're a microwave. We want it fast, right?
Right.
And it hasn't been like that. And just the progression of the young guys is like
exactly.
Not where
they're okay.
They're okay.
They're just okay.
So we just need, like, I thought we were going to get DeMar at one point.
Right.
Just one free agent to draw other people to LA.
I agree with
and
you.
To build around. I just think we need more free. As a vet in the league, as an old head in the league, it's a young men and women's league, both WNBA. It's a young league, but you need vets in there to show these young guys. This is how you be a professional. This is how you come in and work every day. And that's I'm big on just free agency vets and a good mix.
And then, you got the Mozgov contract that's going to kill you
guys.
You have Deng's contract, which is going to kill you guys.
Dang.
So there's really not much room to wiggle with a year or two. So you're going to have to start off with the draft. You're going to have to hope that you get a nice draft pick this year, and you hit on that pick.
Yeah.
You can't get a Julius Randle or a D'Angelo Russell and they turn out to be average. You need to get a star.
Yeah.
Okay, these guys are still just a tad bit young.
They're not, but you can tell they're not going to. D'Angelo's not. He's hot and cold.
I think they still have an upside.
Julius Randle's a nice player, but he's someone who's a role player. They don't have a star yet.
No, I agree with you. They don't have a star. But does Magic have that charisma and pull and the ambassadorship, if that's even a word, to bring a player?
I think so. You know, a lot of the biggest thing was that a lot of the guys didn't want to come play with Kobe. Right, so when Kobe was playing up until his last year, that was the biggest thing. Like,
thank you.
Like, Kobe. We can't get anybody because nobody wants to play with Kobe. All right, boom, now we don't have Kobe anymore. So, yeah, I think Magic has to do a good job of just bringing in, drawing in, I don't know, starting off fresh and making it like look good for whoever wants to come in.
And how do you do that now? Because the West, like, even 1 through 4, like, a Clipper fan, we're sorry, and we're still a quote-unquote powerhouse, you know, being a fourth seed.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? How do you try to persuade free agents to come to the West so they can be on an 11th seed team?
Yeah,
you
I don't
hire
think
Rob Pelinka, who's the former agent now GM, because he has the player relationships, and probably much like Bob Myers from Golden State, who was a former agent turned GM, he became executive of the year. He was able to use his relationships and bring in good players. So we have guys like Rob who's very familiar with the 2017 draft class, because he's looking at these guys as far as representing them, but now he's looking at them as far as acquiring them.
Right.
So I think that's one way you could do it.
Yeah, and I don't think you have to sell L.A., the city. You don't have to. This is one of the biggest markets in the NBA. Mm-hmm. You don't have to sell the city. You don't have to sell the other stuff. You've got a great coach. I mean, you know, experienced coach, Luke Wan. He's a young, charismatic coach. Like, there are things about the Lakers.
Do you believe in Luke as a coach?
I do.
Yeah?
I do. Because even they were saying as a player, they saw his vision as being that he was more of a coach. So
okay.
I like Young and, you know, and they won a championship. Yeah, he was a coaching.
Girl.
Yeah, he didn't have to coach much with that team. But he got the experience.
Yes.
Experience is what you need.
They have to hit the draft, and they have to get the right free agent. It can't just be any random superstar.
Of course. Yeah.
It can't
be
him.
How about, speaking of NBA superstars, what about this All-Star Weekend that we just watched or didn't watch? I didn't watch it.
You didn't watch it?
Hell no.
You got something against All-Star Weekend.
Did you watch the NBA All-Star Weekend?
I'll be honest.
No.
I taped it.
Thank you.
I taped
you
it and I rewatched it.
You
I haven't
watch
watched
it.
The game, but I
thank
watched.
You.
Don't watch it. You watched it.
I watched the other stuff, the dunk contest.
Horrible.
And the even the three-point shooting contest. I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you guys,
watch it.
If there was one thing you could change about a competition, what would it be?
I would move the three-point contest at this point. I told you before, move it to third. Move it to the premier event of Saturday night until you can bring some more excitement to the dunk contest, maybe attract some superstars or something. But I like the three-point contest, and I like giving it one more round and make it longer, stretch it out, and make that the premier event for Saturday night.
What about the skill?
That was fun. And it was fun seeing Porzingis win that. Big man.
Yeah, that was interesting.
So
I like
Porzingis. That was cool.
The thing about the skills, though, like, they don't even seem like they're trying during it. You know, they're jogging the whole time.
They're probably not.
Like, I want to see them, like, go after it.
Right.
Yeah. It'd be so much more exciting.
So what do you think? Make it mean something, like the MLB?
No, hell no.
That doesn't matter. I say, this is what I wrote, I say make the losing conference donate X amount of dollars to the winning conference's favorite charities, maybe. So, like, you know, Eastern Conference loses every year. So every year they got to pay up to maybe some West Coast.
You just say that because you're a Clipper fan.
Well, no, I mean, because the Eastern Conference loses every year. Like, they really. Oh, you're a Knicks fan. I'm sorry. And I say make the dunk competition interactive, where the fans can count as, like, the other judge. So, you know, you get your judges who are actually in, you know, at the game.
Mm-hmm.
Doing their points, and then
have
a hashtag or have an online poll that gets to be factored into your dunk contest score.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed the kitty dunk contest. You see the kids dunking? The little Tyco.
Yikes.
Oh, like, those my are God. Always better. Flips.
But last year's slam dunk contest was
last year's slam dunk was
unreal.
Amazing.
Yeah. It's just hit or miss. It's hit or miss. The slam dunk contest is hit or miss. And unfortunately this year it was a major miss.
What'd you guys think about the celebrity game?
I didn't watch it.
But I thought it was, I mean, I don't know.
What do you
think
like
they have
Cannon
better celebrities there.
What do you guys think in the chat? How to improve All-Star Game weekend?
Okay. That All-Star Game, they put a sleep emoji.
Right.
All-Star was not exciting. Why didn't Curry do it? I'm not sure. Why didn't Curry do it?
The
three-point
contest.
The skills. The skills contest was trash. The game itself means nothing. No need to tune in. I like Erica's charity idea.
Oh, come on!
That means that's good. I mean, because
Would that make them play harder?
No, it wouldn't. It would not.
But nothing's going to make them play harder. I mean, you're middle of the season. So
makes Russ play harder, though.
Russ is always going to play harder.
Russ was trying to make a statement there. Let's talk about that, though. Russ was trying to make a statement.
He's trying to be eight-time All-Star MVP.
He wanted to get the third MVP in a row. He wanted that scoring championship from the game.
That's so funny.
Which AD got instead.
Don't hate on the Brody. The Brody was thinking about coming to LA. What about the Brody coming to LA?
That would be a good idea.
Please bring Russell.
Who's your favorite NBA player?
I don't have a favorite.
Okay.
No?
I respect that. No. I just like watching.
You mean active?
Yeah, Magic. But yeah, I don't have a favorite. I just like Russ. Man, it's so crazy at school at UCLA. Russ, you know, he was just, he's so nice.
Y'all won at the same time?
I was there when he was there.
Nice.
He's a great guy. And then I see him on the court, I'm like, who are you? Right. But I love it.
Dispossessed.
Right. He's a little bit of a savant. He seems crazy, which is good.
Yeah, he's very, very polarizing.
He's so chill. Yeah. He's so different off the court.
Dancing, singing.
That's dope.
Big deal or nah? This is the part of the show where we discuss whether these topics are a big deal or nah.
Did you guys see this video where Lonzo Ball, the Ball brothers... one of the brothers scored, what was it, 79, 73?
One brother scored 72. The other one, 79. The other one scored 92.
So the one who's at UCLA right now, during an interview, a courtside interview, someone asked the dad about his son. And the dad said that he believes his son is better than Steph Curry. Will be a much better player than Steph Curry when he goes in. Put those two one-on-one right now. And see what my son can do.
Wow.
Big deal or nah?
It's not a big deal because it's coming from his father, but it's a ridiculous statement.
See, I say it's a big deal because this dad has been talking a lot of smack.
Yeah,
he has been talking so much smack, and I think that puts a lot of pressure on all the kids' shoulders to live up to this expectation that they might not be able to live, you know, up to. Because right now you're in high school or, you know, you're college, so you're the big man on campus. But take your butt to the NBA where you are playing against the LeBrons and the Anthony Davises or the Boogie Cousins who will bitch slap you and not even think twice.
Right.
Yeah.
So I say it's a big deal because I think the dad is setting a very poor precedent for setting your kid up for possible disappointment and failure.
Now he has to be better than Steph Curry. He has to be.
I agree with that, but then I agree with you as well because, I mean, what's his dad going to say otherwise? He's not going
to
say my son is...
He doesn't have to say that, though. He can just say, like, my son's going to be a good pro. He's talking trash.
It is his son. I mean, so, you know, I'm like, I don't give it much credit.
I'm all about being proud of your baby because I'm going to be that crazy mom one of these days. But... humble brag. Your son is already making a statement in the Pac-12 right now. He's one of the top guards, if not the top guard in the Pac-12
right now.
Top in the nation. That question, he could have... he were like, oh, Steph Curry, he models his game after him. Give him his credit. But I agree. I think it's going to put a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure. He said, one-on-one, my
son
is better.
But even think about the other two brothers.
Yeah.
What about LiAngelo and LaMelo? If he's like Steph Curry, what about those two? Are you going to say that they can be better than Clay?
He will, eventually.
Maybe he just wants to up his draft stock a little bit if anybody's going to buy into it.
Okay.
He doesn't need to. I mean, Lonzo's one of the best prospects.
Have you seen Lonzo play?
I have.
He's for your Bruins.
Yeah, I know. So I'm all for a Bruin. I'm all for it. But like you guys were saying, it's different when you get to the league. And then, you know, those guys know. They hear the father talk.
Thank you.
It'll be a nice warm welcome.
Big deal or nah, DeMarcus.
DeMarcus Cousins traded to the Pelicans after the All-Star game, like 30 minutes after the All-Star game. So obviously, obviously it's a big deal, but do you think it helps the Pelicans make the playoffs this year? Do you think it improves the Pelicans? Do you think it's a good trade for the Kings maybe? What do you guys think about the trade?
Okay. Personally, I think the Kings could have got rid of him a long time ago.
Right. Dang, hater.
I think, no, not a hater at all. I just think that if they wanted to rebuild, they obviously clearly couldn't rebuild. The GM or whoever it was couldn't rebuild around Boogie. Okay? So that clearly there. But they do it now. I think the Pelicans came up, all the way up, having Boogie and AD on. They're two of the top big men in the league. Boogie's going to go crazy. He's one of the best. Okay, it's his first game, you know what I'm saying? But I think Boogie is one of the best centers right now in the NBA. And then he is just, now that you traded him, Sacramento, his hometown, he's going to have that in his, I'm like, okay, they traded me, I'm going to go off now. So I think it was a good move for New Orleans, but no.
Go off on the league or go off on Sacramento?
League.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sacramento, oh, for sure. He's punching somebody.
Right.
I still think they're a terrible team, to be honest with you.
Sacramento, I think it's a great trade for the Pelicans. It's a terrible trade for the Kings. Queens, I'm going to
say Queens. You're a true LA.
All this talk about making sure that women and men are equal.
It's a terrible trade for the. Who do they get? They got Tyreek Evans, they got Buddy Hield, they got nobody.
That's not why they traded him.
You're missing the whole reason why they traded him. Well, I think you're missing the fact that it's a great trade because you have Twin Towers, but it's not a great trade in the way that you're going to make the playoffs. Maybe next year you can maybe buy for an A seed. But
the Pelicans?
Maybe.
I think the Pelicans will be the 8th seed this year.
This year?
They're only maybe 2 games back from the 8th spot right now. We're only at the midway point.
I think what they're missing, though, is guard play.
Exactly.
They need guard. Exactly. They don't have anybody at the guard position.
Jrue Holiday, that's it.
Mm. And then when you combine Jrue Holiday, AD, and Boogie's contract, that's like you're paying $80 million a year for those three. I can see the value with the two big men, but with Jrue Holiday, I don't see the value. You need a guard. You need a good guard.
It's going to take some time, but and you also have to realize it's after All-Star break. You don't have much time for it to click. So it may not be this year, but it's going to be eventually. The thing I appreciated about Cousins, though, was the sentiment that he had for the city.
Oh, did you see that video?
That was
when he was notified?
He was
saying goodbye.
He was saying he loved the city. Like, we don't see that side of him. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting. We only see the technicals and the meat. Like, that man is, at the end of the day, he's human. Mm-hmm. Right. He has a heart. And that's what I appreciated about it. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, okay. Like, there's some good in that guy.
Involved into the community, too. He has a bunch of charity foundations out in Sacramento. Like, he gives back. And he does. And even when it goes back to Kentucky, too, he's there and, like, involved very much.
We don't hear about that.
I feel like, you know, it's the same way I feel about Melo and the Knicks. The Kings were not going to go anywhere with him. It's been 6 seasons. They haven't done anything. They haven't won more than 35 games at Cousins. Getting rid of him and getting crap back, so to say, doesn't matter. You got rid of your problem or what you think is the problem.
Yeah, but DeMarcus had value.
He could have gotten better, but it's addition by subtraction. A lot of players did not like playing with Cousins. That is documented. You kind of free up your team of this negative space, and now you can finally start over. Yeah, you didn't get back what you wanted to get back, but you're starting fresh and starting over. And that might be more valuable to the Kings. As far as the Pelicans are concerned, now you have to see if DeMarcus and Anthony Davis can play together. Mm-hmm. They kind of play the same position. Less touches for Davis, which means he's not going to be maximized to his abilities. Now you got to make sure that he can maximize abilities while Cousins maximizes his abilities, and you have no guard play.
So if you don't bring any guard... You can't maximize. Because I feel like Anthony Davis.
No, you can.
You know, I feel like he was doing the most.
He was doing the most. Yeah. He needs less touches because he puts injuries.
But you still have to figure it out, and you still need guard play. Without guard play in the NBA, you have nothing. So I don't care if you have Cousins and Anthony Davis. You're not going to be above 500 without guard play, period. Even next year.
That's true. I'd name another twin top. Well, besides David Robinson and Tim Duncan. But
we haven't seen that in so long.
Yeah,
since
they had Avery Johnson. They had Sean Elliott.
Tony Parker. Big deal or nah? Big deal or not? Jameis Winston. We have the video. I don't know if we'll be able to pull it up, but Jameis Winston gives a speech at the elementary school yesterday in Petersburg, Florida, where he tells girls that they should be silent and quiet and tells all the boys in the classroom to stand up and be strong and you guys can do anything. Repeat after me. I can do anything I put my mind to. But girls, you know, y'all got to be silent and quiet and nice. That's what Jameis said.
No, he didn't.
Watch the video.
Well, can we pull the video? Have you seen the
Give
video?
Give me a second.
Okay. Yeah. You haven't seen it.
I saw the headline. Didn't
so,
see
yeah. Yes, so he gave the speech in trying to be a positive figure in the community, and he probably thought he was doing something positive. And I think that the sentiment of what he was doing was honest and sincere. But when you watch the video, it sounds...
What do you think the sentiment was?
Encouragement.
How do you encourage girls by telling them to sit down?
Well, no, I think the sentiment of it is...
And he wanted to wake the boys up.
He wanted to focus his attention. Now, look, I'm not taking up for him at all, but I'm just trying to play devil's advocate.
No, just talk about what his intentions were.
His intentions were to get the boys crunk. Like, to tell the boys, y'all be strong. But you got to remember, he's a black man from the South. He's an athlete. He's a football player. And my friend Thomas Jones and I were talking about how football players particularly have a gladiator mentality. So all you think about is being a man, being macho.
Okay.
And you don't perhaps look at the outside world as a world, you only view it through the lens of your sport sometimes. Yeah. So
and your own experience.
And your own experiences.
I don't think it's the right clip.
It's in the rundown.
I have, yeah, it's in the rundown. Yeah, and it's also in the email, too. But yeah, so. Maybe they changed the link. But yeah, I put it, Jimbo in the booth, this in the email, too. So yeah, big deal or not, I guess you have to kind of see it to get the real feel for it.
Did you see it? You didn't see it?
No, I didn't see it. I like seeing things like. I like getting my real reaction on the show. I don't know. I just feel like I don't. If his intentions were that, he definitely did it in the wrong way. Like, absolutely did it in the wrong way. You can't lift another group while bringing another one down. If
that here it is. Okay, I think we might be coming to it now. Okay. Let's see.
I have another 30-second commercial.
I know.
CarMax.
All the commercials. Okay, so
here. Okay, here we go.
Jameis Winston.
I can do anything I put my mind to. Okay, I know I got a lot of people like this. All my boys, all my young boys, stand up, man. The ladies, sit down. But all my boys, stand up. We're strong, right?
You heard that girl in the background?
We're strong, right? Okay, all my boys, just tell me one time. I can do anything I put my mind to. A lot of boys don't supposed to be soft-spoken. You know what I'm saying? One day y'all gonna have a very deep voice like this. Right now y'all talking like this. But one day y'all have a very, very deep voice. But the ladies, they supposed to be silent, polite, gentle. But my men supposed to be strong. Okay? So I want y'all to tell me what the third rule of life is. I can do anything I put my mind to. Scream it.
I can do anything I put my mind to.
All right. Y'all can sit down now. Y'all can sit down. I had to wake y'all up because I had too many boys. See, you're doing it again.
He meant well.
I don't think we have to see any more.
He definitely meant well, but
I think he was trying to wake the boys up.
No.
And then when he was trying to compare the boys and the girls.
No. Coffee.
Look at his experience. Like you said, it's his experience. Hey, my boys are supposed to be tough. They're supposed to be wild, or, you know, strong. And the girls are supposed to be... He used a poor choice of words.
He's apologized since. I do want to throw that out. He did apologize.
It's a poor choice of words.
So big deal. Raina. Go ahead.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It just brings the same thing. Like, guys are in sports, I guess, better than... They can do whatever they can put their mind to, but we can't. Females can too. And as a little girl, they probably were so excited to see a pro football player in, and they're like told to sit down and be quiet.
Right.
Like that would hurt my spirit I was a little girl.
Yeah,
like,
you heard them in the
what?
Background.
I don't know. That's a big deal to me. I don't think that you should have thought about that though. Like, come on, these are little girls too. They have I'm not a fan.
Raised though.
Yeah, like, of course.
Like, not to excuse it, but like, I don't know. I'm trying to find a way to defend him just to be devil's advocate, but I can't.
Right.
I can't, to be honest with you. I agree with Raina.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, again, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate as you are, Josh, Rod, because I'm from the South. I mean, little boys are tall. You better be tough. You know, you better not be, like he said, soft spoken. And I find some fault in him having said that too. Like, you know, that guys have to be tough. You can't be soft-spoken. You can be a soft-spoken guy. You know, there were so many things. There's so many layers to
how at the same time, in the South, you still have societies of women who meet for tea and are very demure and soft-spoken.
True.
And I think that's what he's used to. I think he's trying to compare the two. I don't think he meant to say that women can't do what guys can do. I really don't think
he should.
I think he just used a poor choice of words. And as an athlete, he should be more mindful if he's being a role model.
And I think he should be more aware of the fact that he should realize that I just isolated the boys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I lifted them up. Now I should isolate the girls and lift them up. You know what I mean? You just don't do it for the guys and then tell them sit down and then...
Right.
I'm so mad. He needs to stop saying poster, though.
that's South.
Chat room. I know,
Did he tell the girls to do anything afterwards because he's bugging out? Another person says, it's a poor choice of words. People do make mistakes, but his words are unfortunate.
Yeah. Okay.
Him being Southern, probably, by Gamer Girl.
Yeah.
It's definitely a bad look.
Fair foul. Can't call it. This is the part of the show where we've decided these topics are fair foul or we can't call it.
I put this one in the rundown for Charlie.
MLB.
He's not here, but the MLB, we talked about it last week, they did green light the whole intentional walk signal. So now instead of just pitching the four times to the catcher, there's a signal that's going to be made to the dugout, and we're just going to see the player take their base.
Are you a baseball fan?
I like the Dodgers.
LA.
She's LA through and through.
LA through and
through. Speeds up the game. Favorite foul.
But does it speed up the game? How many times are there intentional walks in the game? It's very rare.
It's down now this year, but I think it speeds up like a minute.
Right. But and it doesn't really speed up the game. That takes like 10 to 15 seconds.
Maybe that one thing isolated won't make that huge of a difference by itself, but maybe as they make changes, you know, the culmination of the changes that they make over the next few years might
combine with. But then also, you're taking away a part of the game where, you know, an intentional walk, the pitcher actually had to throw the ball, and sometimes they threw it over to plate and players would hit the pitcher. You know what I mean?
Can they do that? Can you
last year, like I'm a Yankee fan, Gabby Sanchez hit a sacrifice fly. Yeah.
Well, your manager, what's his name? Joe Girardi says not a big deal, so I'm going to go with him and say this is fair.
Yeah, I guess it's fair, but it's not going to help their problem in speeding up the game. It does nothing for that.
Raina?
Can't call it for me. Can't call it.
She's like, I don't watch baseball. Can't call it. Fair foul, can't call it. NFL.
Fernando. Oh, yeah. Did you guys see this story? Ex-NFL star Fernando Bryant was fired from his head coaching job at the Christian school because a parent saw a social media post of his wife's from 3 years prior with him and his wife posing, and in their hand they had a bottle of alcohol. So according to the application that he signed, I think, to become part of the school's program, there's a line in there that says, I will not display alcohol in public. I will not partake of alcohol or tobacco in public.
When did he start coaching?
I think 20 days ago.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Why are you going to do the guy like that?
So retroactively, they went back to the IG post from 3 years ago.
That's ridiculous.
3 years prior.
Come on. I can understand if he posted that or that was posted during his tenure, but it wasn't.
No, this was 3 years old.
I mean, the parent was upset because the kid wasn't playing.
Yeah.
Maybe there's
exactly.
What was the parent doing on his wife's Instagram 3 years ago? I think he was looking for something else.
Come on.
The parent was obviously upset with the coach. That's very petty.
I think so, too.
Foul, for sure.
That's so foul.
Foul.
They let him go. Yeah, that's foul. 3 years ago.
We're going to do one more fair foul or can't call, and then we got to start rapping. We're going to have to skip in case you missed it, Raina.
Okay.
Fair foul or can't call it, Kevin Garnett, AAU. He shades the AAU.
So, yeah, so basically, Kevin Garnett, he made a statement. I don't know if you guys have been watching Area 21 or his... he is so funny. He is so entertaining player. Like, I would love for him to be my teammate.
He's really funny.
But anyways, he made a statement saying that AAU has killed our league, basically saying that they're not teaching kids, you know, the right principles of the game of basketball. And the AAU, in general, for those of you guys who do not know what AAU is, it's travel, it's club ball. Mm-hmm. Basically, kids play in the summertime or off-season, year-round, pretty much. And they play, this is their opportunity to play in front of college coaches to get recruited. And it's way bigger now, I guess.
Highly competitive. But it's
more important than high school basketball.
It is
way more important than high school basketball.
So basically, he was saying that AAU has killed our league. Like as a former NBA player, it's just a different type of game. What do you think about the AAU?
This is not the first time I heard this comment, and now me coaching high school basketball, I can see what he's talking about. So when I played high school at AAU, we had skill days. We learned basketball. Now it's all about the money in AAU. How many players can we get? How many teams can we make?
Right.
And the kids you're not doing the kids justice by helping them, working with them, teaching them skills. So I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, now it's a snowball effect. Now it's turned to high school, carries over to college, and you're not learning the basic concepts of basketball.
Yeah, I agree. And then he just roll the balls out and play. Like, here, go play.
Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead. There's college coaches right there. Go play.
Right.
There's, like, no structure. I mean, at least when I played AAU, there wasn't really much structure. It was like, oh, you're good. I want you on my team.
Yeah.
Come play with us.
Yeah.
We're going to play six games today.
Yeah.
So there was no practice? Or
right now, for them?
For any of you guys, there was no practice?
Rarely.
Oh, sure.
For me, yes.
Oh, you had practice?
You had practice.
I rarely had practice.
We had skill work. Days with skill work.
Okay, that's good then.
I think one of the things that kind of pointed out to me when I was looking at the AAU in general, there's so many AAU teams now.
Yes.
I think there's so many coaches that are thinking, oh, I'm going to start my own AAU team and have the best player on my team.
And make the most
money, like,
too.
Yeah, so there's, like, thousands of AAU teams that are out of like, randomly. Yeah. But, like, back when we were playing, there were the core teams that were playing. They were like, oh, you have, like, for women in LA, FBC.
Right.
Then you had Cal Sparks.
Right.
Then you had West Coast Premier. Like, you had those three squads that are like, okay, these are the competitive ones.
Right.
But now it's just like, there's baby teams out of each one of them.
Yep.
So it's like it's different because everybody wants to create a new team now, right?
In New York, we had the Gauchos, and then I'm from Rockland County, so we had the Rockland Ravens. But yeah, it's everywhere now, and
they want to coach their kids.
Is there any oversight?
And they not only want to coach their kid, they want to use their team to lift themselves on different platforms.
Right,
and now,
right.
Now I'm coaching college. Now maybe I'm coaching the pros.
Right.
I mean, I know in football, a lot of high school coaches use their sons to. I know someone from Michigan just got hired because their son got recruited by Jim Harbaugh.
I think Kevin Garnett will get a lot of criticism for saying this because he kind of sounds like an old man sitting on the rocking chair back in
the day. He's right.
He might have been a product of AAU.
But yeah, I think that the wear and tear just in general on athletes' bodies, like baseball players, these baseball moms are now getting their kids preemptive Tommy John surgery.
What?
Yeah, I mean, like that's the thing now. I mean, so you have kids playing AAU from the time they're 12. And then they are LeBron. They play in every finals. You know, it's a lot of wear and tear. So I say this is a fair point. We have to wrap it up real soon, Noel. But before we wrap it up, tell everyone out there where they can find you. And tell us what you're working on, your basketball team, any philanthropy, anything you want to promote.
Twitter, I am SoLA45. Just trying to figure out what my next step is going to be. I'm here working at Bishop Montgomery as a coach, but I'm open to training kids since I'm here.
Okay.
Headed into my season, my 11th season as a pro up in Seattle pretty soon.
Yeah.
Training camp starts. And so when I get back, probably be back in L.A. doing some camps and figuring out how I can get back to the kids.
Nice. Okay.
So I wanted to ask you a real quick question. Yes. Did I read that you were a dual citizenship? You have a dual citizenship in USA and Bulgaria? How did that happen?
Dang, where'd you find that?
Stalker.
We do our research.
My first year overseas, I played in Russia. And, you know, you make more money if you are dual citizenship because you're American, but we call it a boss man. So it's like you're American. They only allow two Americans per team, but I am a boss man, so I can be on a team with two other Americans.
That's right.
Okay. I had a connection in Russia. I played for the Bulgarian national team, so I'm a naturalized citizen. It's all legit. Nothing crazy. But a lot of players are doing it now. So Chrissy Tolliver has a passport. Candace Wiggins, honestly, all had a passport. Shea Murphy has a passport. A lot of these players are getting passports because you get more money. And then a lot of times with the USA national team, you know you're not going to make the team. But you have an opportunity to be in the Olympics for another country.
They had a player play for Turkey this year. Oh, God, what was her name? Never mind.
But they gave Becky Hammond crap for being playing Russia.
Yeah. Does that mean you're
Trump won't let you back in?
$100,000.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Chat room, remember, go find Noel on Twitter at I am so LA. 45. You guys, we normally like talk with them a lot. One more quick thing from the chat
right now. Demo says, you were great on the show, Noel.
Yeah, you are so good.
Thank you.
So good. Thanks, chat room. We know we didn't talk to you guys as much as we normally talk to you, but Noel is so great. I mean, we can come talk to you. Every Thursday night, 7 o'clock, Sports Weekly, your favorite sports squad. I'm Erica Renee Davis. You can find me on, not Snapchat, you can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Instastory at Erica Renee D.
And I'm Joshua Johnson. You can find me on all over social media at JJ the Talented.
I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_.
And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raina_Ale.
And as always, follow all things Black Hollywood Live on BlackHollywoodLive.com. Follow us on Twitter at BHL Online. Follow us on Instagram at BHL Sports Weekly. And follow Noel at I Am So LA 45 on Twitter.
Hey.
Thank you, Noel.
Thank
You're
you
our favorite new guest.
Noel was awesome. Glad to hear more.
Awesome. All right, guys. Thank you, guys. See y'all next week.
Take care.
Very cool.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.